Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our scripture tonight comes from 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17. And it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learnt it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Thank you very much, Henry.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us here, Lord God. We thank you for your word that is truth, your word that is life, your word that is brings so much fulfillment for us as we are walking towards you, Lord God. And so, Father, we thank you for the destiny that you have for us. And so, Lord, this evening, as we prepare to open up your word, Lord God, I pray that and welcome your Holy Spirit into this place. Speak to every person in this place and online that is watching through online tonight, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will have his way. And we thank you for what you are going to do in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. And all the mighty saints say, amen. Yes. Good evening, everybody. How you're doing? Yes, my name is Henry, and I'm one of the leaders here at Every Nation Logan, and one of two locations of our Every Nation Brisbane church. We have one that's in Kuparoo, and we have our location right here in Logan on the south side. And so welcome, everybody. Our pastor, you're probably looking for Pastor Nelly. Sorry, he's taking a well-deserved break with him and his family tonight. And so I'm sorry, but you're stuck with me. So I hope that's all right with you. Okay. Yes, as Steph was saying, we are beginning a new series tonight, okay? And so, but who's enjoying the series of the book of Romans that we're going through, eh? Who's enjoying that? Yeah, really good, right? So don't worry, we're going to come back to it. We're definitely going to come back to it in a few weeks' time. But tonight, we're beginning this new series called By the Book, Truth in a Tumultuous World. And the title of my message tonight is Why the Bible? Why the Bible? So we'll be taking a closer and deeper look into the Bible, the book that is probably the most key component for anyone who is wanting to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. The Bible is your go-to book. That's the one that you need to lean into and rely on, okay? And so we live according to a worldview. Now, a worldview is the lens through which we see the world and make decisions. It's like wearing shades, you know? We don't think about looking at our shades when we have them on because we're looking through the shades at everyone else, at the world, right? And sometimes when we're looking through a lens like this that is tainted, that is distorted. Seriously, it's really dark with you guys. I can't see you. And sometimes even scratched, things may not look as good as they should with this lens. The view may look shadier. It may look boring, even dull at times. But that's due to the lens that we're looking through. Unfortunately, there are many Christians who don't have a biblical worldview. They may display some of the religious decorations of Christianity, right? They may say the right things. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. But when you see their decisions, when you look at their choices, they say of a very different worldview. Now, some of the sources that can come, that can form and shape our worldview can include things like social media, the news, movies, our favorite actors, our favorite sports people. And there's nothing wrong with these things. They can all have good aspects to them. But the question that we should be asking ourselves as a disciple of Jesus Christ is, what is the biblical view here? What's the biblical view here? And so we're going to be taking a bit of a deep dive into these three questions. What is the Bible? Why should we trust the Bible? And how do we trust that it is the Word of God? All right? And so we'll begin with, what is the Bible? And let's look at the structure of the Bible. Let's look at, you know, how it's designed and put together. All right? So the Bible's made up of, it's written by 40 authors within 66 books. It's divided into two major sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament consists of 39 books. The New Testament consists of 27 books. The Old Testament was written from about 400 BC, with its earliest copy being recorded at around 900 AD. So that's over 1,300 years from the earliest writing to the very first complete copy. But in 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered that dated back to more than 2,000 years. So these scrolls confirmed many fragments of many of the books of the Old Testament. Now, the New Testament was written between 50 to 100 AD. The earliest copy of the New Testament is about 125 AD. That's only 2.5 decades after the events were recorded. And there are over 24,000 copies of Greek, Latin, and other languages that exist. And you know what the Greek language documents? They are 99.5% accurate. That's pretty impressive. A lot of the differences is all in spelling. I might have written one of those. Now let's look at where these words come from. And I'm sure that you've heard it said that the Bible is the inspired word of God, right? Where does it come from? And it comes, as Steph read, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Other translations say that the word of God is given to us by inspiration from God. It's inspired by God. It's God speaking and directing these people, these authors that he chose to reveal himself to. Think about this. If we believe that the word of God is God's word, it's God's very words for all of humanity, that it's God's plans, that it's God's ideas, that it's God's concepts, that it's God's principles given for us to help us, then we shouldn't look at this book as just another book from another human being. But we should look at it and treat it with reverence and see it as the very life-giving force from God, the very words from God given to us to give life to us, to give us a perspective of how he wants to see the world. The very words breathed out by God, inspired by God, originating from God, given to us as a revelation about God himself. That's the Bible, the inspired word of God for us. So why should we trust the Bible? Why should we trust the Bible? Well, I want to approach this question by looking at three things that will help us to build trust in the Bible. And these three things are accuracy, reliability, and relevance. And so the first question we'll ask is this. Is the Bible accurate? We want to say, is the Bible accurate? Now, in order for the Bible to be accurate, we need to be certain that the message that was originally written down by the authors is the same message that we have today. And we already know that the Bible has the most surviving copies of its original documents, right? But let's do a bit of comparison with other accepted and ancient documents. Plato wrote The Republic around 400 BC. Now, The Republic is what they call a Socratic dialogue. Yes, that's a new word for my vocabulary too, you know, which is a formal method of having a cooperative argument. Yes, we can have cooperative arguments too. And it's done within a group of people, and it's facilitated by someone, and they're talking about answering universal questions. Questions like, what is happiness? What is integrity? But in the case of the Republic, they centered in on this question. Is it better to be just or unjust? Is it better to be just or unjust? And they discuss justice and the order and character of the just city-state and the just man. 400 BC was when this was written. The earliest copy that we have of it is 900 AD. So that's a time span of 1,300 years from the time that it was written to the time that we get its first copy. And there are only 7 copies of it that exist. Let's look at another example. Homer's Iliad. This is a Greek, an ancient Greek epic poem by the Greek poet Homer, not Homer from Springfield. Okay? Just make sure everyone's on the same page, all right? But this Greek epic poem recounts some of the significant events in the Trojan Wars and the Greek siege of the city of Troy. If anyone's seen the movie Troy with Brad Pitt, a lot of our older people may have seen it, you know. So Homer's Iliad was written around 800 BC, and the earliest copy that we have is from 400 BC. So that's only 400 years. 400 years from the, and there's 643 copies of that document that exist. So when it comes to these ancient writings like Plato's Republic and Homer's Iliad, no one doubts the accuracy of these documents. But what if we were to look at these ancient documents and the New Testament side by side? It would look like this. And so for me, the main sort of fields are the main numbers that I'm looking at is the time span and the copies that exist. You look at the New Testament, 25 years. Plato's Republic, 1,300 years, 400 years, 7643. It's like, wow. So by looking at these numbers, would you say that you would accept the Bible as an accurate document, that its original message is the same message that we have today based on the criteria that we use to accept other ancient documents? I'll leave that with you. Now let's look at reliability. Is the Bible reliable? Everybody say, is the Bible reliable? So here we'll see if the Bible is a reliable source of information about the world. Now the literary genres of the Bible includes narrative, poetry, prophecy, wisdom, gospels, epistles, apocalypse. Some of these genres are meant to be literal, but others are not. The Bible has inspired many modern scientific pursuits based on the beliefs that the universe was created by a rational creator. For me, it's this very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a creator that has a purpose. That's a creator that sees way beyond any human being. That is our God. The Bible and science are in agreement. Some of the great scientists throughout history have trusted the Bible as God's word. Galileo, who was an Italian philosopher, astronomer, and mathematician that discovered the telescope. And so he's gazing up into the night sky with this. Isaac Newton, the English physicist and mathematician who brought us the law of gravity. What goes up must come down. You also have Charles Babbage, who was an English mathematician and inventor who is credited for having conceived the idea of the first automatic digital computer. Some scientists have found that the Bible has been a reliable source of information about the nature of the world. Psalm 104, 24-25. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures, innumerable living things, both small and great. The psalmist here is saying, how magnificent you are, God. He's looking around at creation, and he's He's recognizing God's fingerprint all around him. He looks at the ocean and he sees, wow, the vastness of the sea, and yet God knows every detail about it. What we don't see on top of the water, but below it, God knows it. God knows the details. God knows the numbers. He knows exactly what is in there because he put it there. That is our God. Even historians and archaeologists, they recognize the Word of God as a reliable source of historical information. In the Old Testament, there are prophecies concerning the birth, life, ministry, betrayal, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And most prophecies that were recorded in the Old Testament, they were written hundreds of years before the New Testament was fulfilled. Let's look at a couple of examples. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgins shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel, God is with us. The fulfillment of this in the New Testament is in Luke 1:35. "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God.'" What about this one? In Psalm 78, verse 1 to 2, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old." In the New Testament, the fulfillment of this is in Luke 1:35. "All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, 'I will open up my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world.'" Here's Alexander the Great. He's a historical figure from the 400 BC era. He was a Macedonian king and a great military mind who built the largest empire in the ancient world. His first biography did not come out until 400 years later. Yet no one questions his existence. Jesus is also known as a historical figure who lived during the first century AD. The Gospels, which are the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they give detailed perspectives of the life and ministry of Jesus. Four men, four perspectives, telling of one unified story of Jesus. So based on this evidence, would you say that the Bible is a reliable source of information about the world? I'll leave that with you. So we've looked at accuracy, we've looked at reliability. Now let's look at relevance. Is the Bible relevant? So in order for the Bible to be completely trustworthy, its message must be relevant. It must be as compelling today as when it was first written. The big question is this: can a book that was written over 2,000 years still speak to us today? If we look at where we are today as humanity, right? Yes, we've made some major technological advancements, like, you know, the internet, computers, you know, science, medicine, construction, all these great things that we get to experience today. And it gives like a pretty good life. But there are still big questions in our life that many of us, if not all of us, ponder or think about at some point of our life. Questions like, is there a God? Or what happens when I die? Is there a purpose to my life? These questions are timeless. Every generation arrives at some point in their life to ask these questions over and over and over again. But the Bible also provides timeless answers to these very questions of life, faith, and truth. It's the very description of who God is and the love that he gives us and the plans that he has for humanity that is revealed through his word, the Bible. Because of the Bible's challenging claims and its message, it has drawn more attention and study than any other book in the world in history. And the ongoing research of its manuscripts and the message concludes this: the Bible is unparalleled in the accuracy of transmission, is unequaled as a reliable source of historical information, and is unsurpassed in its continuing relevance to readers throughout the centuries. So I've presented the evidence and findings of what the Bible is, this historical document that is the most widely read and most challenged book of all time. And it's the best-selling book in all of history. And we've looked at why we should trust the Bible. We've looked at a baseline of what the world accepts of other ancient and historical documents. And the Bible passes with flying colors. But we don't base our trust on what the world accepts. We base it on the fact that God says that it is His word. We don't base our trust on what the world has said or what the world has accepted. We base it on the fact that God says that it is His word. So I'm going to remind us of this passage, 2 Timothy 3, 16 to 17. Can we read this all together? All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Who wants to be trained? Who wants to be equipped? Who wants to be prepared for this life? I know I do. I want to. The Bible is the book that will help us in this life. It will help us to prepare. It'll give us the right perspective that God wants to give us about this world. If we want to have a biblical worldview that is informed and molded by the Bible, the Word of God, then we need to read our Bible daily. If you want to know what God is like, read your Bible. If you want to know how to treat others, read your Bible. If you want to know God's plan for salvation, read your Bible. This shouldn't be how we view the world with this lens on, because this isn't accurate. This isn't accurate. This is distorted. It's a lens that's not giving a real picture. But when we have the Word of God in front of us, when we have the Word of God front and center, and we're looking through the Word of God as we're looking out at people, you'll find you'll be more gracious. You'll find that you'll be more patient. You'll find that you'll have more love for people. You'll find that there'll be changes that will begin to happen in you, because you're not just looking at it at your own, from your own perspective. You're looking at it from the Word of God. Think about this. The Creator of heaven and earth has given us a book to be able to see exactly what He wants us to see. And what do we do with it? What are we doing with it? The Bible has been given for us to help us, to teach us, to train us, to prepare us. So I want to give you some practical tips, okay? Practical tips to help form and shape our worldview, okay? And so it's three environments, okay? It's three environments. I'm calling them my time, yes. You know, time's views, okay? Bit confusing, but don't worry, you'll get it soon, hopefully, that I want to build into our lives. And the first one is this, okay? The first one is this, my time, okay? My time. Everyone say my time. This is my individual time with God. You as an individual, okay? You as an individual. For us husbands and wives, I can't rely on my wife's time that she's having with God and think that, oh, that's our time. God will say, where is your husband, Helen? You know, we have to do our own time. Husbands, you know, wives, you know, we have to have our own time. And so I really want to encourage you, what is your time like with God? You know, in that time with God, what are you doing? Are you reading His word? Have you removed distractions when you're sitting down reading His Word or having a time of worship or studying His Word? What are you doing? I know that a lot of times when I'm trying to read God's Word, my phone's right there and always notification, notification, notification. Oh, you have to put that aside. You have to turn it off, do something, get it out of your vision, get it out of your eyes, and so that you can just focus. My time, our individual time with God. And I know it can be really hard in the busyness of our life that we have as parents, as people, right? To find time. But can I give you some advice? That's the problem. If we're trying to find time, you're off to a bad start already. You got to make time. You got to plug it in your diary like it's a meeting that you cannot miss. If you just say, oh yeah, I'll do it in the morning. You get to the morning, oh, it's cold. Oh, it's too cold to get out of bed. That's finding time. Make time. Make time. The next one here, group time. Everyone say group time. This is our time with our life groups. Life groups, okay? Now, I'm saying life groups because for us here at Every Nation Logan, life groups are a major component to help us connect with each other, you know, because this is great setting, this is great, but to be more intimate, to be able to really journey along with someone, you're in your life groups. And that's where you'll be able to really get to know people, right? In these smaller, more intimate gatherings. And so I want to encourage you, like I do every Sunday, are you part of a life group, right? Be part of a life group. Get around other people and journey towards God together. Don't do it alone. Don't just rely on a Sunday service. How are you building with God's family? God wants us to be part of community. And when we're in life groups, that is a great avenue for us to enable community to happen and connection. Amen? And we get to do some really cool things. Like you remember the marks of a disciple, the three F's that we get to do in life group settings. We get to fish. We get to go and encourage others about God. About God. We get to follow Jesus. We get to learn about what Jesus is doing. Learn with other people in a group setting, and we get to fellowship. We get to do some cool stuff together. Or well, hopefully, if you've got cool leaders, you can do cool stuff. But you know, fellowship, getting together, going through life together. It's more than just this Sunday gathering, okay? So that's group time. Everyone say my time. Say group time. And here's the last one, family time. Now, I know there's a lot of you going, oh, I do that. I do that with my family. Yeah, I know you do. And if you're doing it, awesome. Great. That's what I want you to do. But this family time that I'm talking about, this is our time with our spiritual family. Look around, look around, look around, everyone. This is our family time. I'm not trying to redefine your family time that you get to do with your biological family. No, I'm talking about your spiritual time with this family because we are family here. And I want to encourage you to fight for this time. Fight for this time when we come together as a family on a Sunday because this is family time. When you're sitting in a foundations class, that's family time. That's the time with your spiritual family. When you're sitting in a making disciples class, that's family time. That's time with the spiritual family. When you're sitting in a leadership 215 class, that's family time. That's time with our spiritual family. So that's my encouragement for us. Some tips for us. Yeah, you're looking at it, oh, that's nothing new here. I know it's nothing new. But the principle is the same. We've got to do our time with God. We've got to have our time with God, our time with our life group, our time with our spiritual family. How do you prioritize that? Is it something that you do consistently? Do you really fight to get to that? And so I want to go into our time of discussion right now. Is that all right? You are still here or have you gone out somewhere? All good? We're going to go into our time of discussion now. And I want you to have a chat. This question, will you trust God's word? Will you trust God's word? I'm pretty hopeful that most of you in here, most of us in here, do trust God's word. But if you don't, can I encourage you that you're around family? This is what we do as family. We get to talk about stuff. We get to wrestle through stuff. We get to discuss stuff. And it's not about trying to, you know, put someone down or something. We just want to get a better understanding of our family. This is family time. And the second question is, what will it look like for you to trust in God's word? What will it look like for you to trust in God's word? You know, maybe those three times that I've talked about, my time, group time, and family time, maybe one of those you know in your heart, oh, yeah, I'm not consistent in that area. Or I haven't really been really committed in that area. Can I encourage you, have a discussion with someone around you. Have a talk with your family. Is that all right? So I'll give you like 4 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes to have a chat with someone around you, and then we'll come back and we'll respond to this. Is that all right, everyone? Is that all right? Okay, God's still good, right? What a time, yeah, okay? So have a chat, have a discussion with our family.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.